Immediately following the worship service today, the congregation will vote on selecting leaders for our church for the next church year. And you are asked to vote either for or against each person listed there. And as one of your ministers, I want to share with you as church members that I am very disappointed that there are no elders on the list. You need to be aware that that bothers me a great deal. And what I want to do, I want us to look at Scripture together. I want us to talk about what the Bible says the job of the deacons are and what the job of the elders are. And I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, which I believe is the first time that the church selected deacons. I believe it's the first time that the church selected deacons. Up until that time, the apostles had been doing all the work, and believe it or not, people in the church began to complain. I know that's very difficult for you to believe that people in the church would complain, but it did happen. And so, Acts chapter 6. Now, at this time, while the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint arose on the part of the Hellenistic Jews against the native Hebrews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily serving of food. It seems like this was a legitimate complaint because the church's primary aim is spiritual. The church's primary aim is to win people to Christ, help them to grow in Christ and become more like Christ, and to find ministries that they can do to repeat the process, to win people to Christ and help them to grow in Christ. But also the church is involved in helping people with physical needs. And so the church was involved in taking care of widows. Those of you who were here on Wednesday night in my class, we talked about in the Proverbs class that the church has no obligation to help those people who will not work, but we do have an obligation to help those people who cannot work. And so they were helping the widows. And it seems as if the 12 apostles had so much to do that they didn't have time and there were some people being left out. Some of the widows were not getting a sufficient amount of food. And so they began to complain. So the 12, who are the 12? The apostles. So the 12 summoned the congregation of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. We have been chosen. We have been chosen by Jesus and trained by Jesus for 3 years to preach the word. Now we're involved in this ministry. We are preaching the word. We're teaching people. We're winning people of Christ. We're helping them to grow in Christ. We are helping them to find their job in the church. And we're also helping to feed the widows, which is a part of the work of the church. And it is more to do than we can do. So we should not neglect our primary ministry and go do this." Let me read the verse again. "It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God in order to serve tables. Therefore, we're going to quit serving tables." That what the verse, next verse says? "Therefore, brethren, select from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who may be put in charge of this task." Look at verse 4. "But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Now, I want you to notice why they selected the first deacons. Look at verse 2, the last part of verse 2, and verse 4. And try to figure out, why do we need deacons in the church? Why do we need deacons? To take care of the physical, secular things. Now, I wrestle with trying to figure out another word. I don't like the division, the elders take care of the spiritual and the deacons take care of the secular. I don't like saying that. I think I need to find another way to say that, but I never found one. So I'm going to say that and want you to understand that everything in the church is spiritual. Taking care of the elders is spiritual too. So, but I'm still going to use the term that the deacons were chosen to take care of the secular, the physical part of the church, while the apostles were to preach the word and spend time in prayer. Is that what it says? They were to concentrate on what they were trained to do. It is not desirable for us to neglect the word of God nor to serve tables. Therefore, you select some men to do that. We will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. So the solution to the first problem in the church was division of labor, to delegate certain jobs to certain people. At this particular time, the apostles' job was primary emphasis prayer and the ministry of the word. The ministry of the word had to do with winning people to Christ and helping those people grow in Christ. That's what the apostles were going to do. They chose the deacons to do the other job so that they could concentrate on their job. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3 the qualifications to serve tables in the church of God. I want you to notice in verse 3 the qualifications to take care of the secular part of the church. And the first one you're going to miss, so I'm going to explain the first one to you. The first one is, he addressed, who did he address? He had a particular name for him. Therefore, who? Brethren. Who is that? Christians. Next phrase is to do what? Brethren, select from among you. First requirement, serving tables in the church, you got to be a Christian. You think, well, that would just be automatic, but not necessarily. You have people come up and say, well, why don't we get these non-Christians to do this particular work in the church, and maybe that will cause them to become Christians. I want you to know that in the Scripture, when they selected the first deacons, the first requirement was they had to be Christians. Brethren, select from among you. Seven men, so the second requirement is a good reputation. That they have a good reputation. It is possible to be a good person and things work out where you don't have a good reputation. That's possible. But it was very important to the church that the people they selected for deacons have a good reputation. People in the community and in the church respected them as being good people. Because the leaders of the church reflect what the church is like. In other words, if we have people in position of deacon, that the world out there says they're a bunch of crooks, then that reflects on the church. So the second requirement, what was the first one? Had to be Christian. Second requirement, had to be good reputation. And then the next one is they had to be full of the Spirit. What does it mean to be full of the Spirit? Controlled by the Spirit. They had to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In other words, they lived a godly life. They were controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were people who produced the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. They had to be full of the Spirit. They had to be controlled by the Spirit. Now, what were they going to do in the church? They're going to serve tables. That's the reason I say that it is not a true division that there's spiritual and secular. If I got to be a spiritual person to do the secular work, then the secular work is spiritual. Does that make sense? But I still couldn't find any other words to use. But they had to be full of the Spirit. And then they had to be full of wisdom. They had to have common sense enough to do this job. Okay? Just have common sense enough to do this job. Now, why were the deacons chosen? Why? To serve tables so that the apostles could spend time in prayer and the ministry of the word. I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked. I can't find any other job descriptions for deacons. Now, I can find other qualifications. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 through 13 lists qualifications for deacons. But I don't find any other job descriptions for deacons. They were to take care of the word I don't like, secular side of the church, so that the apostles could do the ministry of the word and prayer. That was their job. Now, watch this. I believe, you understand when I say I believe, I can't give you book, chapter, and verse, can't prove it. Okay? I believe in our day, the elders should do what the apostles were doing then. If I am right about that, if the elders' job is prayer and minister the word, if I am right about that, what is the deacon's job again? To do the other stuff so that the elders can do their job. I want to tell you again, I am very disappointed that for the second year in a row we're not going to have elders. Because we teach as a church, and I believe with all of my heart, based on Bible, we teach that the elders are to lead the church. And the deacons are to help to do the work so the elders can lead. And we're in a situation for the second year in a row, starting in September, in which we don't have any elders. And so in essence, what we're doing is teaching one thing and doing another. And you think that bothers me? You better believe it bothers me. Because I'm tempted to say, doesn't make any difference. We can just do that. There are a lot of churches who don't have elders. Or we could say, well, let's find another way. I know some small churches who believe that they don't have anybody qualified, so they select a group of men to lead. And this select group of men leads. And, that may be a possibility. I'm bothered by the fact, if they're not qualified to be leaders, why select them to be leaders? But anyway, so I don't think what we're doing is any worse than that. Because I tell you, there's one thing worse than not having elders. There's one thing worse than not having elders. And that having elders that are not qualified. To have elders who are not qualified. So you say, well, Lee, if we don't have elders, how do we operate? Well, the church operates by the board made up of the deacons and the ministers. That's how we operate. I don't think that's biblical, but that's how we operate. We don't have elders because we don't have any men who are willing to accept that position. And I don't know what else we could have done. We could have closed the place up. I didn't want to do that. we could have gotten rid of the deacons and just selected a group of men to be leaders. Or we could do what some of these growing churches are doing. We could copy the big boys. And we could say, well, we don't have elders or deacons, but we have servant leaders. And there's no Bible requirement for servant leaders, so we can have women and men, and whether they're biblically, whether they're spiritual or not, doesn't make any difference. They're servant leaders. And we're not disobeying Scripture. We just got servant leaders, and we got servant leaders over each department, and we'd be copying a lot of big, successful churches. And we wouldn't get into this debate about whether we can have women, deacons, and elders, and all that kind of stuff. Because we don't have any elders and deacons. We just got servant leaders. I don't think we should have done that. I think what we should do is develop elders. That's what I think we ought to do. And I'm going to ask you, as one of your ministers, I'm going to ask you that you begin praying for that and continue to pray for that, and we work toward developing elders. And when we get to that place, we have a special election and elect them as soon as possible. Because we need elders to operate our church. Let me just give you, I made a list a number of years ago, went through the Bible and made a list of the jobs for elders. I told you I could only find one description of job for deacon. That was in Acts chapter 6. That's the only one I found. There may be one. If you know where it is, tell me, so I'll know. But I couldn't find any other job description on what the deacons are to do except to help those that are in charge who are doing the ministry of the word and prayer, to help them with the other things so those people could concentrate on that. When I made the list of jobs for elders, I think I had 11 different things on that list. And I wanted to share with you three of them today, just three of the 11. Do you really want me to share all 11? We'll just stay here. I just have three of those. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Just first grade level. According to the text, not according to your opinion, not according to the Baptist Church, the Methodist Church, the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Christian Church, the Church of Christ, none of those. Just tell me from the text, what does the text say one of the elders' job is? First line there. The elders who do what? Rule well. The job of the elders is to rule the church. That's their job. If I understand the Bible right, Jesus is the head of the church. He's the chief elder. Chief shepherd is the way the Bible describes him. He's the chief elder. He's the top man. The next step down, the under shepherds under him are the elders of the local church. I do not believe in a denominational setup like many churches have, the Methodist and the Episcopalian and the Catholic and all that. And you got the world leader and the country leader and the state leader and the region leader, and then you finally get down to the leaders in the church. I believe it goes straight from Jesus to the church. And in the church, the elders are who rule. Now, they are taught, the Bible does teach, that they should not be dictators. They should not act in an authoritarian manner as they lead. But the fact still is, the Bible teaches, as the local church, they are the authority. They are the authority in the church. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor. Their job is to lead the church, to manage the church, to lead the church, to stand before the church, to rule the church, to be the ones out front, to make decisions and all that kind of stuff. And they are to do that under the headship of Jesus. They are to do that under His headship. In other words, they don't own it. They just manage it for Him. So their job is to rule the church. He also mentions two other things that some of the elders did. What were those things? Preach and teach. And I believe that as minister of the church, that I should be one of a group of elders. I believe it is unscriptural for me to be the only elder. I believe it's unscriptural for anybody to be the only elder. I believe the Bible teaches a group of elders are to lead the church. Now, let me tell you that in that particular instance, I just submit to what the Bible teaches. I want to tell you, for me personally, I believe it would work better if one person ran it. I just believe that. But that ain't what the Bible teaches. So what I need to do? I need to submit to what the Bible says. And the Bible says there needs to be a group of elders who run it. And so the job of the elders are to rule the church. That's what they're supposed to do. And some of the elders preach and teach. Yeah. We're not going to go there, but if you look at the next verse, you realize that some of those elders that were preaching and teaching were also paid. So the paid minister can be an elder in the church. The Bible says so. Okay? And it's okay. Because the Bible says so. So the first job of the elders is to do what? Rule the church. I told you I found at least 11. We're just going to talk about three. The first one is they rule. They're to lead. They're to manage the church. And can you see, as a paid employee of the church, how frustrating it is to me that we don't have elders? The very people are supposed to be leading the church and managing the church and controlling the church. We don't have those people. And that's frustrating to me. And you say, Lee, that's not a very positive note. I realize that. And I wrestle with what I'm going to preach about this or not. I really wrestle with that. Because I'd really rather just hide my head in the corner and pretend like everything's okay. But out elders, everything's not okay. And it is absolutely a miracle that we hadn't made major, major mistakes without elders already. But I'm going to ask that you pray for us as the ministers, Mike and I, and the deacons. As that group of people, the deacons and the ministers have one vote on the board. I hope I have influence on the board, but sometimes I have influence that scares me, and sometimes I don't have any influence. Sometimes, you know, they say, well, if the preacher wants to do it, we'll do it. And that scares me. I said, you guys need to talk about this a little bit. And sometimes I said, this is what I think we ought to do, and the whole board said, nope, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this. But the fact is, as we're set up right now, it is the board of deacons and ministers, and we ministers have one vote. That's all. I have people call me all the time on the phone who think that as the minister of the church, I have total authority, and I can decide what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. I have one vote. That's all I got. I think I ought to be one of a group of elders. And as far as I know, the church here, when we had elders, the elders never voted. We always came to consensus that we all agreed. And I mean by that, the elders nearly always met with me, and now they meet with me and Mike. Since he's been here for the last 2 years, and we all together come to a consensus. We don't vote two against two or three against one. We came to a consensus, and I think that's the way it ought to be done. Turn your Bibles to Acts 20:28. The first job of the elders was to do what? Rule. When you look at the second job that I want to point out, there are at least 10 or 11. I'm just going to talk about three of them. Acts 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves. Everybody with me? 20:28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. He was talking to elders and he said a lot more to them in this section, but this is just one verse I want to point out. He talked to the elders and he said to the elders, be on guard for yourselves. The first thing an elder needs to realize is that if I'm going to be a spiritual leader, I have to be a spiritual person. If I'm going to be a spiritual leader, I must be a spiritual person. So the first requirement, even though it seems backwards to a Christian, the first requirement for the elders is you look out for your spiritual life first. You make sure you are spiritual. You make sure that you are close to God. You see, sometimes you get so caught up in doing all the work of the church, and it happens to preachers and elders, and even it happens to Bible school teachers and workers, that we get so caught up in doing the work of the church that we forget all about our relationship with God. That just gets put on the back burner. I'm so busy doing God's work that I don't have time for God. So the first thing that an elder needs to do is to make sure they guard themselves, that they are spiritual people. And I want to give you just two suggestions on how you can know how you're doing. If I'm not already in trouble, I'm glad we don't have elders because they'd fire me. I'll give you two suggestions. As an elder needs to make sure he spends time with God, devotional time. So if he wants to know how spiritual he is, just look, how much time do I spend with God? And how much money do I give to the church? big, just tremendous guide to tell you how you're doing spiritually. If you don't give anything to the Lord, you're probably not very spiritual. I heard of one time a preacher who didn't give anything to the Lord because he said he worked for the Lord. He didn't need to give any money for the Lord. Let me tell you, you'd be better off without that preacher. But he got to be on guard for himself. Who else is he to guard, according to this text? The flock. Who is that? The church. He's the guard of the church. Hebrews says he is responsible for the souls of the members of his church. That'll scare you to death, won't it? That I have a responsibility. If I were an elder, I'd have a responsibility for your souls. Because I'm to guard those souls. Be on guard for yourself and all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, managers, directors, leaders, to shepherd, that's to feed, lead, and protect. Feed, lead, and protect, that's what a shepherd does. You're to oversee and you're to shepherd them. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So the church belongs to the elders? Nope. The church belongs to the preachers? Who does the church belong to? How much did he pay for it? He paid the blood of Jesus Christ, the most precious thing in the universe. And so the elders have the job of overseeing and shepherding and taking care of the church. And I was in the bookstore the other day and ran across a book, and somebody was talking about being an elder and a pastor, and he said the book title was, "They Smell Like Sheep." I've never been around sheep, but I did grow up on the farm, and so, horses and all that kind of stuff is beautiful to look at, but there is the problem of cleaning up after them. And animals are animals, and so when we're compared to sheep and the elders are to shepherd us, to take care of us, it is not an easy, ideal, cushy position. It is a hard job that elders are called to do. So the first job of the elder was to do what? Rule. The second job of the elder was to do what? Shepherd. Let me give you one more and then we'll quit. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Titus chapter 1 verse 9. Talking about the elders. You're to select these kind of men to be elders. Verse 9 says, everybody there? Titus 1:9. Holding fast the faithful word. In other words, they need to know Scripture, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that they may be able to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. So the first job I talked about was the elders are to rule the church. The second job was that they're to shepherd the church, to take care of, to feed, lead, and protect. The third job is the elders are to protect the doctrine of the church. The elders are to protect the doctrine of the church. They are to know the Word of God, and they are to be able to teach and exhort in sound doctrine, healthy doctrine. And also, in addition to teaching sound doctrine, what else are they supposed to do? Contradict those who do not teach sound doctrine. So they are to protect the doctrine of the church. Now, you're going to vote, those of you who are members of the church, in just a minute, you're going to vote. And you're not going to vote for elders. You're going to vote for deacons. But I want to tell you, as one of your ministers, I want to ask you to support what we're doing right now and pray for and work toward getting to where we ought to be. We are not where we ought to be now. Without elders, we are not where we ought to be. But I'm going to ask you to pray for and work for. And I also want to remind you that as you select these deacons, you need to realize that because of our situation, these deacons are being asked to do a lot of the work of the elders. Because of our situation, these deacons are being asked to do a lot of the work of the elders. So it's very, very important that we select the right people to do that work. I believe that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Didn't sound like I believed that, did it? It just didn't sound like that, but I honestly believe that. And I don't know why we're in the situation we're in. As one of the ministers, I can't help blaming myself, and I understand from gossip that some of you blame me too. The fact is, we need to, as a group, we need to work together. This is where we are. We need to work and pray to get to where we ought to be. Well, at least you agree with me on that part. We ought to work and pray that we can get where we ought to be, that we have elders again. Until that is true, the board of deacons and ministers are trying to lead the church. I'm sure we will make some mistakes, but I'm sure elders would make mistakes too. I just asked as the minister that you pray for us. That you realize this, we're in a situation in which we are doing something that's contrary to what we teach. And I'm not willing to change what we teach. I mean, I can just see most of you going home and say, Lee preached the whole sermon about elders and we don't even have elders. I mean, the whole point was about elders and we don't even have any. We weren't even voting on any. What I'm trying to get you to do is to start sincerely praying and working toward us having elders. Eventually, I want to be one of those elders. I was very afraid to put my name on the ballot because I thought you'd vote me out, and then I didn't know what I was going to do for a living. I think this is a very serious matter. I love our church. I believe our church has a lot of potential. We have a lot of things that God wants us to do. And I believe that everything God lets us go through is for a purpose and a reason, and God's going to use that for his purpose to glorify him. I believe any time, at any place where you are, we need to look at where we are and be honest about that and say, this is not where I want to be. This is where I not need to be. This is where I ought to be. Let me go from here to here. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Now, you're going to be voting on deacons and other positions, and you pray verse. Honestly and sincerely, that you vote the right way, that you vote for the people that need to be in those positions.